salvation, for the gift of Jesus Christ. We're thankful that it's given to everyone, that whosoever will call upon your name will be saved. And Lord, what grace and mercy is seen in that. We're so thankful for that sacrifice and how it's freely given to all. Lord, we're thankful that it's just not about salvation to be with you forever in heaven, but that we can have the mind of Christ now. James says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally. 1 Corinthians talks about we can have the wisdom and knowledge of God here and now. Now, Lord, we understand there's a process. There's a working out our salvation, a working out of that through experience. That's what we want to do today. Right now, our hearts and minds are focused on you and your truth here in Revelation. And we're asking that you would give us that spiritual discernment and wisdom, that number one, we may best honor and glorify you. In Jesus' name, amen. Would anybody like me to just kind of, I know we're here in Revelation 6, do I need to go over, I don't mind, what the whole purpose of the tribulation is? You want me to go ahead and go over that? Yeah, so the whole purpose again, number one, it's fulfilling Daniel, okay, and it number one has to do with the nation of Israel, right? So number one, it's going back to the nation of Israel, and it's preparing Israel to receive their Messiah, all right? So God's going back for that seven-year period and going back, number one, to restore the nation of Israel to where they will call, or, you know, as a nation, you know, they will call on Jesus Christ, and they will understand whom they have denied, and they'll be trusting in the one who was pierced. So a lot of great language there in Zephaniah, Zechariah, Daniel, Ezekiel. There's a lot in there. So prepare Israel to receive Christ, all right? Number two, it's to punish Gentile sinners. To punish Gentile sinners. The Gentiles as a not just as a nation, but as a people group. Now again, many people are going to be saved. Many Jews and Gentiles will be saved. We're going to see a lot of that. That's actually a seal we're going to see coming up here in Revelation 6 on martyrs that were martyred for Christ in the first 3.5 years. Revelation 7 goes into it's an innumerable amount that John looks at. Of people getting saved. So, but God is going to judge those Gentiles who are on purpose hardening their heart. It's not an ignorance. It's not an ignorance. It's, we know it's God, we know it's His wrath, and we're still resisting. We're going to see that coming up in Revelation 6 also. So the Gentiles who on purpose are denying God, they see it clear. They know they should repent, and yet they're still wanting to turn away. Again, another part of the tribulation period. And I have verses for all these. Just for sake of time, I'm not going into them. If you want them, I can give them to you after today's lesson. But it's to prove God's power. Now, I will give you the verse on this. Revelation 15, 3 and 4. It's to prove God's power. Everyone's going to know. The whole entire world is going to know that God is all-powerful. Now, us as believers in the church age, or grace, or whatever you want to call it, we know that, right? That's one of our doctrinal characteristics that we look at. God is all-powerful. But it'll be undeniable that even those who are denying God cannot deny His power. They're going to see it. Matter of fact, they're going to ask that God would just kill them. They're not asking to repent, and they're not asking for forgiveness. They're asking God, just kill me. Interesting, isn't it? So it's going to prove God's power. Tribulation period, that 7 years, is going to also show, that's going to portray Satan's true character. It's going to show Satan's true character. Revelation 12:12. People are going to see Satan has a wrath also. Satan has a wrath. Revelation 12:12. For he knows his time is short. Revelation 12:12. He has a wrath that's going to be unleashed. Now again, you're going to see it. These seals being broken and God allowing things to happen, God's in charge. These seals, God is authorizing these seals for things to be done. Now, it looks like natural disasters and natural things happening and man giving them to himself, but nothing is happening until God breaks that seal. So it is God authoring it. That's why I believe the first 3.5 years is a part of God's wrath. And again, Revelation 6 will prove that in my opinion. Yeah. No, yeah. So I'll clarify. So it is, we are going to see asteroids coming down. We are going to see wars and famines. We are going to see starvation and death. But it doesn't happen until a rider, and we call them the four horsemen, the apocalyptic riders, until that seal is broken and they go out, then we see it. So it's still, God is still authorizing these things to happen. And it's in a form of natural things. No, they will know it's God, actually. They will know it's God. Yep, Revelation 6, I'll get to it today. So great question, John. They will know it's God. Yep, and they will know it's His wrath. And they're not asking for salvation, they're asking just kill me. You're 1 point before a good segue, John, because I have one more. Five. Number five is to provide salvation, okay, to everyone. Again, God, it blows my mind how merciful He is. God is going to show and provide salvation to everyone in the world. Now, I learned something the other day or other week, or I don't even remember when it was. It was recently, in the last couple of weeks. I used to believe that there was a strong delusion given to those people in the church age, according to 2 Thessalonians, that when they go in the tribulation, they wouldn't believe in Jesus Christ. After further review, I was wrong. I believe I was wrong. Because there in 2 Thessalonians, it's talking about what's happening in the tribulation period. A strong delusion. Not before and carrying in. I would ask you guys, if you had that same view that I did in 2 Thessalonians, that there's going to be a strong delusion to where they go in and those that have heard the gospel now won't get saved in tribulation, I would challenge you to check that out in the context, like I did. I practiced what I preached on that one. And I go, whoa, wait a minute. This is talking about in the 7 years there's going to be a strong delusion, not before. So I do believe my mind has changed on, if you have heard it, I think you might have a chance also in the tribulation. I actually believe that now, that you can trust Christ in the tribulation. And I would challenge all of you like I did. I challenged myself to look at that in 2 Thessalonians and go, wait a minute, this is talking about the Antichrist and tribulation, not the church before the tribulation. Cool. So check that out. But again, in Revelation 9, Revelation 7, 9 through 14, we're going to see a lot of people saved. A lot of people saved. We're going to have conversations with those that are saved. Not we, but we see conversations between those that have died, that were martyrs for Christ, and a conversation between them and God a couple times. We're going to see in the millennium, those that have trusted in God and in Christ, they're going to go into the millennium. That's who's alive going into the millennium. The believers that were not martyred, they go into the millennium. So, just to kind of go over it real quick again, is to prepare Israel as a nation for their Messiah, to punish Gentile sinners, to prove God's power, to portray Satan's character, and for God to provide salvation to all. Everyone's going to hear the gospel. This is where, how many of you have heard that every nation, language, and tongue will hear the gospel? That's here. Tribulation. That's here. Okay. Every continent has heard the gospel now in our dispensation. Doesn't mean that everyone's heard it. In the tribulation, for that 7-year time, we will know for sure. 144,000, two witnesses, angels are preaching the gospel. Everyone will hear and have the opportunity to accept or reject. Everyone. No, there's not going to be one person ignorant. cool, huh? That's, I have. And the thing about that is, as of right now, every nation has heard the gospel. So there are no signs for the rapture. Paul, when you read his letters, he's actually speaking as if God's coming in his timeline.
Right.
He's actually preaching his letters like, hey, I'm looking for the coming Christ. Now, why would Paul do that? Because even Paul thought, hey, the known world has heard the gospel. Right? He says, hey, the known world's heard the gospel. So he's thinking Christ is coming. There are no signs. Like, hey, Christ is coming when I'm alive. He was looking forward to the rapture himself.
Thank you.
Yep.
3 and 4 again.
Yes. So number 3, it's to prove God's power. Revelation 15, 3 and 4. To prove God's power. Revelation 15, 3 and 4. And number 4, to portray Satan's true character. Revelation 12:12. To portray Satan's true character. Revelation 12:12. Now, these points are helpful. There's a lot of teachings out there that are up and down and left and right. On that note, if you're a member of our church, I'm going to ask you that you do not look up any answers on God questions, the Gospel Coalition, I'll need more later, but don't look at those websites. Okay, don't look at the Gospel Coalition, don't look at God questions for answers. Because they're all Reformed, they're all Calvinist. So they're going to have a different bent on things. So if you're a member, I'm asking you politely, please don't go on those. If you have a question, ask me, and I'll give you a non-Calvinist perspective.
There's also another one that's very deceptive. It's called 119 Ministries.
119?
Yeah, okay. It's primarily aimed at new Jewish believers, but it's gaining a lot of traction, even in the Gentile believer section, and they are probably the most deceptive and really good at it. They'll take you straight through the scripture. It looks like they're just expounding like perfectly. And then you look at it and you think, wow, that's interesting that nobody's ever taught it that way. And then you look it up and you start doing context. And you got to really dig and do your homework to figure out, wow, this is error that's old.
Yeah. Right. Oh, and desiring God. Don't look up desiring God. Okay, they're Calvinist also. Okay. So it's good that we have that idea, these 5 points for tribulation, to know when someone is talking about we're in the tribulation period now. We'll know because I have these 5 points in my mind to prove that, you know, the church is still here. The 144,000 aren't here. We're not going back to the nation of Israel, right? There are certain things we're not seeing, okay? So before we get into Revelation 6, I'm going to have Dennis on the slides up here, put some things up. If you want copies of these, I have hard copies. But what you're going to notice, we're getting now into the tribulation, right? We're getting now on that 7-year period. And I believe on Daniel's 70th week, that full 7-year period is the entire tribulation period. It's the entire wrath of God. And again, I'll show you here in Revelation 6 coming up. But you're going to start noticing a lot of cross-referencing from Matthew 24 to Revelation 6. Okay, so a lot of Matthew 24 here. So we see there's going to be false Christs. There's the rider on the white horse. Wars and rumors of wars. I mean, that's huge in the second seal, third seal. Famines and earthquakes because of, we'll get into Revelation 6. But there's a lot of cross-referencing. Okay, so Matthew 24, we believe 4 through 14 there is the first 3.5. Now, one thing I have noticed about myself that I'm going to try and correct is when I have talked about peace with Israel, the Antichrist and make peace with Israel, I have done a good job on saying that does not mean there's going to be peace on earth. It's going to be bad. Okay? There's going to be a lot of death and destruction and war. Peace with Israel is a separate item while the earth is going through turmoil. OK,
Okay, so it's not going to be a lot of peace on earth, you know, and kumbaya stuff. It's going to be, boy, folks, this is crazy. You know, God, we know it's your wrath, how the rocks fall on us. Okay, so there's a difference there. I'm going to try and do a better job of that. Moving forward, when I talk about the first 3.5 years, yes, the sign that what ushers in the tribulation is that sign agreement with the Antichrist, nation of Israel. That's what ushers in that 7 years. Okay? During that time, they're going to have peace for a little bit, but then war and chaos is going to break out. Okay? So Matthew 24, read Matthew 24, 4 through 14, with your lenses and minds on the first 3.5 years of tribulation. First 3.5 years. And again, I have these hard copies up here if you want those. All right, what you're also going to see, next slide, please, Dennis, is a lot of going back and forth in Revelation 6 here, from heaven, even chapter 7 as well. Things happening in heaven, things happening on the earth. So you're seeing God, Jesus Christ, orchestrating everything, right? A seal is open, things happen in heaven, and things happen on the earth. Back in heaven, a seal is broken, things happen on the earth. There's a lot happening, okay, back and forth and back and forth. And you gotta get hard copies of this if you want it. Yep, and we'll get into those later. Things happening in heaven, all the judgments and different things, and on the earth. So I have all three of those up here. Now, before we get started, are there any questions on what we just covered? No? All right. Put the choke on, get things primed up. Here we go. Revelation 6, verse 1. This is John talking. I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, then I heard one of the four living creatures saying with a loud voice, or with a voice like thunder, come and see. And I looked, and there before me was a white horse. He who sat on it had a bow, and the crown was given to him, and he went forth conquering that he might overcome. Now, there are two views of this, and I'm fine with either one. One view is, there's three views, I'm not fine with one of them, but there's the two views I'm looking at I'm fine with are, one is, this is the Antichrist himself, okay, going forth to conquer, but he has a bow and no arrows. He's using diplomacy. He's not using a war. Okay? So he has a bow but no arrows. He has a crown. Right? He's the leader here, the leadership, who people are looking to. Right? And so he's going forth to conquer, but yet there is no war that breaks out. Now the other view is, it's just, since the other three writers aren't people, this isn't really a person, it's just these nations coming together to war, to fight, and they don't. They actually come upon a peace agreement which ushers in the Antichrist to that leadership group. Okay, they all are like, hey, you know, we're on like a Cold War, right? Everyone's on edge. We're going to go out to conquer. We're trying to fill things out here because there's chaos. Who knows, the rapture or whatever. And so we need a leader. So they're going to go out to try and figure it out. And then the Antichrist comes and steps in and brings that agreement and that peaceful treaty, which doesn't last long. We're going to see from the second seal. So either one of those. We know it's not Jesus. How do we know it's not Jesus on the white horse? How do we know it's not Jesus on the white horse?
Not his time.
Not his time? Excellent.
Because it says he went forth conquering that he might overcome.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus wouldn't need to overcome anything.
Right. Good. What else? Who's in heaven opening the seals?
Jesus.
Yeah. Right. Jesus. Yeah. Yeah. So he's in heaven already. He's opening the seals, right? So someone else or a group of someone else is. Okay. Either one of those I'm fine with. But we know it's not Christ himself. Okay, check my notes real quick. Verse 2, and I looked, And there before me, verse 3. When he opened the second seal, I heard the second living creature say, "Come and see." Then another horse that was red went forth. Power was given to him who sat on it to take peace from the earth, causing people to kill one another. Then a great sword was given to him. So we see now we have nation rising against nation. Okay, people groups against people groups, people killing each other. So this diplomacy didn't last long physically on the earth. Now notice, this isn't happening until the seal is broken. These are authorized by God. We're seeing it play out physically with men and nature and things, but God is breaking these seals. Okay? There's an action in heaven causing a reaction on the earth. Okay, so God is, I don't like this word, but I'll use it anyways for the sake of argument, sovereign in his way of acting out right now. Okay, his full power, authority is coming out. So, there's still a peace agreement with Israel, right? That hasn't changed. And now we're starting to see some chaos and turmoil come out, okay, from the second seal. Now again, it's symbolic, right? This isn't really a red horse, you know, right? So it's not a literal red horse. Take things literal when you can and symbolic when you can. It's not a literal red horse, right? It's just things are happening, okay? Red horse represents blood, bloodshed. Any questions so far? Okay. Verse 5, when he opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature say, "Come." I looked, and there was a black horse, and he who sat on it had a pair of scales or balances in his hand. Then I heard a voice in the midst of the four living creatures saying, "A quart of wheat for a day's wages, and three quarts of barley for a day's wages, and do not harm the oil and the wine." So now we start seeing the effects of war, right? There are shortages. Okay, a lot of shortages from destruction and war happening. So a full day's wages is one meal. A full day's wages is one meal. Now there are two views, and I'm fine with either one, on the oil and wine. One is you won't have enough money to buy oil and wine. The other view is oil and wine are for the wealthy. So these war and the destruction of war to the common folk, middle class and down, are affected, but the wealthy haven't been affected yet. Either one I'm fine with, whatever one you want. Okay? Does that make sense?
It seems to kind of tie into this idea that the globalists have, where there's way too many people on the earth. You know,
mm-hmm.
So they want to kind of shrink it. It looks like it's going to happen here.
Well, happen for sure. Yeah, it's going to happen for sure. So this kind of famine here on the black horse, I don't think personally it will have ever been seen before on this scale. We've seen nations and droughts and things in other countries, but the majority of the world is fine. I think this is going to be a worldwide, if you talk about a pandemic, we're going to have that. Yeah. As never before seen. So this is a part, again, of Matthew 24, 5 through 7. There'll be false messiahs, war, and famine will break out. Again, this is all the first 3.5 years.
Is there significance to the scales that he's carrying?
This is a balance between, you know, what's happening. I actually have a note on that, maybe. On death and destruction. I thought I did. Oh, I said balances equal famine and death.
Oh.
The balance between famine and death.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yep, that's what I have. You don't have to agree with me. I'm just saying that's what I have. All right, verse 7 here. When he opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living creature say, "Come." So I looked, and there was a pale horse, and the name of him who sat on it was Death, and Hades followed him. Power over a fourth of the earth was given to them, to kill with sword, hunger, with death, and by the beasts of the earth. So now we have a quarter of the earth. As of right now, or Yeah, right now, it's about what? 1.6 billion people are going to die? 1.6 billion people are going to die. Now again, this isn't happening just out of circumstance. A seal, an authoritative seal, is broken. I really want to stress that God is authoring this in the first 3.5 years, the tribulation. He's in full control of this time period. Okay?
That's something interesting about the colors of the horses. The last one being a pale green, mm-hmm. you know? If you look at the black, white, red, and like pale green, you look at the flags of the nations that are all around Israel. All of the flags are black, white, red, and pale green.
Yeah, that's true.
It's very, I just saw that as an observation.
Yeah, good typology. Yeah, I like that. Yeah, good point. Where are we at? Verse 7? All right, so we see death by sword, death by hunger, and death by wild beasts, which could be anything, right? So, I mean, we look at rats, these rats going around, scavenging, you know. I mean, let's say there's a food shortage for animals and rats, they're just turning on humans. Like, who? It's going to be weird, right, for us to look at. I mean, we'll look at it from heaven's point of view, I believe, but that's just me. If you're a preacher, you'll agree with me. Verse 9, when he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the testimony they held. They cried out with a loud voice, "How long, O Sovereign Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood and those who dwell on the earth?" Then a white robe was given to each of them, and they were told to rest a little longer until the number of their fellow servants and brothers should be completed, who would be killed as they were. So this fifth seal is something happening in heaven. Let that come out to you. What do you notice there? What's happening when that fifth seal is opened up?
They're asking, when will revenge happen?
When implies a time. Right. And they're in a timeless area. But they are aware of time in a non-time zone. Interesting. Good point, Jan. They're aware of time.
Just,
what else? Yeah, go ahead.
Seems like this is a change of heart because us as believers right now, we're supposed to be praying for our enemies and wanting everybody to be saved. And this is sort of more back to the before Jesus teaching about wanting retribution and revenge.
Yes, but for the tribulation saints, but four in the first 3.5 years. These are, yep, martyrs for Christ in the first 3.5 years. Yep, and they're seeing judgment. That's why they repented. So their mind is on judgment. Ours is not in the church age. We're not on judgment. They are. God doesn't rebuke them. We would be rebuked by Paul for having a judgment mentality. Like, I want God to judge you. Whoa, whoa, Paul would say, no. Their time's coming.
Right.
They didn't get rebuked, did they? What else do you see? Let it come out to you.
Be patient. They need to be patient.
A lot of time, right?
Be patient.
Rest.
Rest a little longer.
Rest a little longer. Hey, just soak it up.
Well, so these people, they're not even in the world yet anymore. They have shed any semblance of their sinful past.
Right.
So they're thinking more like God. And God always thinks, of the balance, you know, judgment. You know, you break the law, you pay for the law. And which is why Christ had to die for our sins. But that's one of the reasons why when we're here, we think like somebody who had to be saved by Christ. When we're there, we're now infected. So we're thinking more like God. And that's why, you know, retribution is demanded for the blood of the saints.
Yes, these are tribulation saints.
Right.
The church age bride isn't saying this.
Right.
Yeah, the martyrs are saying it.
Yeah.
For the word of God and the testimony.
So does that mean they were killed just for being believers? They were killed because they were spreading the gospel.
They were standing up. I'll go into more today in the next hour. And absolutely, there was no doubt they believed in Christ. They believed in God. They believed in the Creator. And they were letting people know. That's what got them killed. Right? So the first 2.5 years will be an onslaught against believers. You know, the Antichrist will be against them. It's not the church, but believers, individual. Go ahead.
Are these souls that had been slain, is that, did you say it's from the church age and also that first 3.5 years?
If I said that, I made a mistake. It's just the first 3.5 years of the tribulation.
Okay.
Yep, so just the tribulation saints in the first 3.5 years. And more are going to join them. So more are going to be killed.
I always thought that was all of the saints.
Yep. It's a tribulation.
Yeah.
I once heard a comment that a martyr isn't how you die, it's how you live.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Good stuff, guys.
They seem to recognize that their deaths will be avenged.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure what that means, but they're aware that God's because they were killed, there will be a judgment or an avenging of God.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes back to the where is it? That's what I'm talking about. When you have an enemy who's doing bad things to you, give them a cup of water, give them all they need, be pleasant, and it's like keeping hot coals on their head. But at the end of time, that's where they go if they don't repent.
Right.
You know, it's more judgment as you do good to your enemy, as they do bad to you, still do good to them. At the end, God judges all these bad things that they've done to you. It's like keeping hot coals on their head.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Good. Excellent. All right, moving on down here, we'll look at verse 12. I watched as he opened the sixth seal, and suddenly there was a great earthquake. Again, Matthew 24. The sun became black like sackcloth, made from goat hair, and the moon became like blood. And the stars of heaven fell on the earth, as a fig tree drops its unripe figs with unshaken by a strong wind. Then the heavens receded like a scroll when it is rolled up, and every mountain and island was removed from its place. Now look at the reaction here. Then the kings of the earth, and great men and rich men, and commanding officers and strong, and everyone, slave and free, hid themselves in the caves and in the rocks of the mountains. They said to the mountains and rocks, you guys listening? Fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath has come. Who is able to withstand it? They know. This sixth seal being broken. This is the first 3.5 years. That's why it's a part of God's wrath. See, the seals are wrath judgments here. And so when this sixth seal is opened, there's a huge earthquake. Now, again, I don't mind your view. If you want to think that this is from nuclear bombs going off and causing the earth to rescind and the heavens and different things, I don't have a problem with that. If you want to think it's, you know, nuclear missiles and bombs, because the earth, the landscape changes. Where there was a mountain, it's no longer there. Right? The earth is shifting. This earthquake, I don't know, maybe on all the fault lines across the world, it's shifting and moving, and it's physically changing Earth's dynamic. Alright? And then this is where we get the sun becomes like blood that's so red, which again, all that dust is in the air, the air quality is going to be horrible, whether it's from a nuclear bomb or just natural catastrophe, this earthquake, whatever. This is where we get this from. So we're not looking for blood moons today, are we? We'll get caught up in that garbage. We're not looking for any of these signs. This is the tribulation time. Okay? Now, it has begun in the sixth seal. At least we know for a fact. It's undeniable they know it's Christ. Right? They know it's God. And they're not saying, save us. They're not saying, we believe in you. They're saying, we know it's you. Rocks fall on us and kill us. Man.
But they're concerned about, they're thinking that if they die in bodily form, that that's going to solve the problems, but they're going to be in eternal torment.
Right. Right.
Do they not realize that?
I wouldn't think so.
I was thinking that too.
I wouldn't think so.
They think that death is going to bring them some peace.
That's what I believe, because if they did believe in the judgment, the great white throne, the judgment of burning and things like that, they would repent. And it would help them. I don't see any of that myself. So it leads me to believe they don't believe it's going to happen to them.
They can't be believers because they don't believe in an afterlife. They don't believe in the spiritual.
Well, we know for a fact it's on the believers. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
That's and I happened to, when Mount St. Helens went up, look at what happened completely around the earth in just a matter of days from the fallout from the volcano.
Right.
That's nothing. That's nothing compared to what's.
Right. Good point, Ken.
Mm-hmm. You know, that's the worst thing about hell is that you want to die and you can't. I mean, that doesn't get people's attention. I don't know what that is.
Well, I find it really interesting if you listen to what scientists are saying. They're talking about like the New Madrid Fault Line, Yellowstone, all these like mega events. You know, Yellowstone, they say when it blows and it's past time, whatever, it would literally cover the United States from nearly coast to coast to coast with a blanket of ash.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, you see that revelation, you see that
right.
Sun being blotted out. So yeah, it's amazing. You see how God could easily just do it.
Yeah, absolutely. Rip of a scroll.
He don't need nuclear bombs to do it either.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's more my view, but I don't have a problem with the other one.
You know, we keep making him too small a guy. God is bigger than
yeah.
Yeah. He's holding everything together, and the atom, if he lets go of everything, it's just going to be like a huge atomic bomb.
Right.
You know, so
again, that's my view, but I know there are a lot of people like excited about other views, so I don't want to be a stumbling block. Okay. I'm going to pull a Romans 13 on you.
Goes a little bit to have a shared gospel, because these people are willing to concede that it's the wrath of the Lamb, but they don't know about hell, or they're not willing to concede that part. So
it's interesting because, in my opinion, the closest thing to hell that mankind has seen would be what they're going through.
Mm-hmm.
So.
I can see how quickly mankind can go from rational thought to being completely irrational.
Right.
You know, not able to even do 1 + 1 = 2 anymore.
Right. At the same time that these folks are denying, there are several that we just saw earlier that accepted. Right? So we're just seeing these two groups get filtered out even more and more. So that, again, they're not going to have an excuse. Like, you know it was the Lamb. You knew it was Jesus. You knew what was going on. So at the great white throne, when you're judged, I mean, you confess with your own mouth the Lord Jesus, but you deny him. Like, Satan believes in Jesus. He knows exactly who Jesus is. He's not going to go to heaven. Right? He's denying him.
Because it does seem like that's one of the big changes over, say, the last 50 years, is that nowadays when people share about Jesus, they only want to talk about his love, and they don't talk about what we're being saved from.
Did you do a study on the book of Acts?
Not yet.
On the gospel? All right. So I would challenge all of you, if you want to, you don't have to. I think I even give out a cheat sheet, actually. In the book of Acts, when you see the gospel presented, look at what was said. Look at what was said. And you'll notice only a few times is judgment mentioned. Because you're not just being saved from wrath and hell, you're being saved from the humanity. Like, when Adam sinned, you need a Savior. So you're being saved from what you were born in Adam. That's the reconciliation. Now, were there times when Paul talked about judgment? Absolutely. Most of the time he didn't. So it's a case-by-case scenario. In the book of Acts, when the gospel is verbally given out to each people group, you'll see a theme where it's not so much God's love as it is Jesus Christ and what he did for you and that you need him. Judgment's not really mentioned. A couple times it is, though. Absolutely. So I'm all for, we'll get into this more when we get into the, our gospel class, presenting the gospel, our soul winning class, on how to do it. There are a number of ways, but there is one thing for sure you need. Jesus Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. You have to have that. If you didn't say those three things, you did not give the gospel. But yes, during this tribulation time, it's absolutely about judgment. You know, and we'll get into the gospel here, and is the gospel different in the tribulation? and we'll see what the gospel is being preached by angels and the two witnesses and the 144,000. And does it change from our gospel now? Just like Jesus Christ in the Old Testament, the gospel he was preaching, was it different than what we preach now? It was, wasn't it? Christ was preaching the kingdom millennial. He wasn't preaching about his death, burial, and resurrection. So there are many gospels. It's cool, isn't it? All right, any questions before we pray? All right, Father, we thank you for being good to us today. Lord, we're thankful for Revelation chapter 6. And Lord, it's just the beginning of sorrows. You said in Matthew 24, it's just the beginning period of the last 3.5 years, which is your great wrath. I can imagine what the great wrath looks like from an earthly perspective when the first 3.5 years of your wrath was this bad. And Lord, we're thankful. Just seeing this just shows not only your judgment and your righteousness, but your mercy and grace. You're always allowing man an opportunity to believe in you. Always. And we're seeing those that do open up and trust you and become martyred for it. And we're seeing others that don't trust in you, that deny you and want rocks to fall on them and kill them. Lord, allow this to be a sobering thought to us in our position, like Judy was talking about with how we give the gospel. Let us have a sense of urgency, Lord, not just because of a judgment for a person, but because our love for you and you have told us to give the gospel out. But thank you for the study. Bless the next hour. In Jesus' name, amen.